All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. I once passed on an opportunity because I was afraid of making the wrong choice. Now, years later, I still wonder, what if? Today, we're exploring regret aversion and how understanding it can help us make better decisions and live with fewer regrets.
Welcome to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast, your weekly fix for all things mental health and wellness. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Germany. And not only are we besties, but we're your besties. You heard me right. It's homegirl vibes here.
Get ready for the girls to dish the real, the raw, and the fucking funny.
And listen, we may drag you, but it's always in love. Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all, welcome back.
Welcome back, my bookies.
How are you feeling? One word to describe how you're feeling.
Ooh, conflicted. Torn. What LaToya say? LaToya Luckett say?
She said torn. And you got me just torn
between the two.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Yeah. A little confliction. But otherwise, I'm feeling good. How are you? How are you feeling? What's one word? Throw it out now.
One word to describe how I'm feeling?
Yeah. The repeating to gain more time.
Curious.
Ooh, curious because, would you mind sharing?
I'm trying to see something.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm just curious about some things.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at I'm curious about something.
Mm-hmm.
I would like for y'all to drop a word of how you're feeling in the comments, especially if you're watching on YouTube, because you can watch on YouTube. How are y'all feeling today?
Yes, let us know how you're feeling today. Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah. CTA.
So how was your weekend? Do you want to share?
My weekend was chill. Honestly, we had a wellness day. We went to this place called the Breathing Room. It's a holistic wellness center where they offer different types of meditation, combining the meditation practice with state-of-the-art technology. And so we went, they had these meditation pods and like vibroacoustic lounge chairs where you can meditate as well. And it was an amazing experience, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I've dabbled in meditation, but this center, this place was founded by a psychologist and a certified wellness practitioner named Dr. Miranda Bowe.
Mm-hmm. Such a sweet lady.
Such a sweet lady, knowledgeable woman who has poured her all into creating this space. She's a great believer in the practice. I mean, she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows the benefits and she has created a space where you can really tap into the benefits of meditation. And it's written all over the writings on the wall when you go into this space. And I just felt so thankful and grateful to be able to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'm glad that she allowed us that opportunity because it was everything that I needed that day.
And everything I didn't know I needed.
Yeah.
Because you're in, like Brittany said, these meditation pauses, it creates a somatic experience because there's binaural beats going in your headphones, different frequencies for whatever it is that you might be looking for, we were in our theta brainwave stage, which y'all know we've been talking about reprogramming the subconscious and dopamine detoxing and just doing all these things around our brain and our subconscious, becoming our highest selves. So it was really cool that Dr. Miranda recommended, like, I think you guys should do this particular guided meditation and have the theta brainwaves activated. And baby, I was asleep as soon as my pod door closed and then a little pink light came on. And baby girl started talking in my ears. I was asleep just a few minutes later.
I was asleep too.
But the cool thing is you still get the benefits even if you're asleep because the subconscious is still awake.
Exactly.
So that was nice that it didn't go in vain.
It didn't. The body's in a relaxed state, but your mind is still open.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's what you want. You want to be in a relaxed state, which is often hard to do when you're in an environment like your home. Mm-hmm. And I hear my dog's feet running across the floor and, you know, all sorts of little different stimuli that might take me out of my zone. Being in an environment like that really helped me sink into the mindset and the space that I needed to get the healing.
So thank you.
That I got. So that was my weekend.
Same. I had the same church. Same weekend. And it was just so nice. So this was like a gem at the top of the episode. If you're ever in LA and you are looking for something interesting to do alone or with a good girlfriend, you want to tap into self, then check out the breathing room. We'll actually tag that in the show notes.
We will tag it. And I'm sure we're going to be there at some point. One of the girlies on TikTok was like, go here for the next home girl hangout.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're working on it. So it was a good weekend, honestly.
So today we're here with you all. We've been really heavy into, I'm going to say a brain bag, a science bag, a psychology bag, a reclaiming the mind bag, a living better through the neurological space.
We're back to our roots. I feel like this is where we started, the bag that we started in.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've pretty much stayed near the bag.
Every now and then we get in and out.
Yeah.
And right now, y'all, we've been deep in it and y'all have been loving it, which is really good. So today, we're continuing in those efforts, and we're going to be talking about regret aversion.
What is that?
So regret aversion is our tendency to weigh losses heavier than we weigh gains, right? It's the way we look at circumstances when it's like, it's basically judging our current situation off of a future decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting, like thinking about the way our brains work around regret so that we can hopefully make less regretful decisions or live with less regrets. Living with less regrets.
It's a fancy way of saying that our brains are wired to dislike missing something more than we would enjoy getting something.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And that's interesting because I would think that it would be the other way around, you know, because it kind of feels like that when we're having our conversations and we're thinking from like a conscious state or aware state. I feel like that's what's in my awareness. But then when I really sit and unpack, I'm like, the way that I really do make decisions
is from a space of hopefully not making a bad decision.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with regret aversion. People who typically deal with this, which honestly, all of us, it's a human experience. This is the way that we are, our makeup. We steer clear from making certain decisions because we don't want to regret the alternative decision. So we are going to get deep into this bag today. It's going to be very sciencey, very psychological. It's going to be very motherfucking good. But I have a question for
you. That's the recipe.
How do you typically deal with regret, feelings of regret? Do you like dwell on them, on the past? Do you think about how you can make changes and move forward? What's your experience like?
I try to quickly find a solution, honestly. Like if I feel like I did something that I regret or wasn't the best, I try to find the solution in it. Like, okay, so what can I do differently next time? I may dwell on it like a little bit, but it's not something that I like sit in for too long. I usually try to get to like, okay, how can I do better?
Problems.
What can I do different solution next time to prevent myself from like having the same regret or making the decisions that I may regret later on down the line again? So usually I'm like a solution, find the lesson.
Yeah. Quickly. Yeah.
How about you?
You know I'll dwell.
Girl.
I'll dwell, baby. I'll ruminate. I'll be like, I can stay in a place. So
permanent residence.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think being a person who's risk averse, this also plays a big role in how I move and make decisions, how I feel after I've made a decision. Because it's like, damn, I already don't want to make a bad decision. So now I'm really considering my decisions. I don't want to make no mistakes.
Yeah.
So if a mistake happens, I will dwell on it because I already feel like, damn, I tried my best to avoid this motherfucker.
Right. Like, you'll be like, see, this is why.
Yeah, I will. I will see this is why.
Yeah.
And I want to get better at that. And I think bringing these type of topics to the pod and to our own awareness is going to help me with that.
I think so, too. And I think it'll help the listeners, too, because the reality is there's no way for us to prevent wrong decisions being made at some point. You know, it's human nature. We're going to make a decision that comes with regret at some point or one or another. It's just the way the cookie is going to crumble. Mm-hmm. So not making a decision at all in the effort to not have anything to regret, it's just doing ourselves a disservice. You know? But we can't deny that there's a science behind why we feel this way.
Yes.
There's a reason. So let's get into that.
A reason for the season.
So the science or the psychology behind this regret aversion, it gets deep. Mm-hmm. It's not just a fleeting feeling. Regret aversion isn't a fleeting feeling. Like we said, it has firm basis and dwelling and neuroscience and psychology. Mm-hmm. So when we know the scientific reason behind why we have this regret aversion, what can we do with that knowledge? We can use it to empower us. I love shit like this. Mm-hmm. I really do, because I'm like, see, this is why. And when I know why, it gives me a better understanding and I can operate better and I can ultimately make better decisions or even give myself more grace.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It makes you feel like you're not alone. Like, this is the way my brain actually naturally operates, or I don't want to say naturally, but more naturally than not operates. I'm not having this experience, this isolated experience that no one else is having. If I am feeling this, it's likely that millions of other people are experiencing it. So yes, we can give ourselves grace to be human.
Yes.
That's what we need to do. Give ourselves grace to be human. So let's talk about the main factors, the key players in regret aversion. Do you want to kick it off?
I will. Okay, so the first player. Player number one. Loss aversion and framing. What does this mean? So our brains are not wired for perfect rationality. I like to think that mine is sometimes.
Same. It's your Virgo mind, though.
I like to think, oh, I'm so right.
The Virgo girly.
Yeah, seriously. But studies have shown that we are more sensitive to losses than gains, which we kind of touched on. Mm-hmm. We're sensitive to it, which is really crazy to me. This is called loss aversion. So think about it. You would be more upset if you lost $100 than you would be if you got $100. You lose your wallet with $100 in it, you're going to be tight. And I know this feeling because I lost my wallet. And this is something I was really dealing with regret aversion for a while. When I lost like my wallet and I had $300 in it, I was crushed. I'm like, how could I?
I was
regretting that decision. I'm thinking about all the choices I made that led up to that wallet being lost. But let me get a deposit of $300. The feelings do not compare.
No.
The feelings don't compare.
No.
It's like, okay, I'm happy I got the money, but it doesn't compare to the way I was sitting there ruminating about that money that I lost.
Yeah.
And that is real. That can be applied to multiple different situations in our lives, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like, I'm just going to use this. And when you're getting surgery, right? Or your doctor's like, we're going to operate whatever it is that you want to operate in, whether it's, you know, something that's necessary or voluntary that you just choose to do for aesthetic purposes. But as soon as they get to throwing around, you're going to be one in 50,000. Oh, my mind automatically goes to the one.
Yeah.
Even though there's more chances of, and you tend to focus on what it is that you would lose rather than what it is that you would gain.
Yes. We focus more on the negative outcomes, the missed potential, the bad decisions, which can brew up those feelings of regret.
Yeah.
So that's something good to keep in mind, you know?
Yeah.
It's definitely something good to keep in mind. And I think that the money example was perfect because I definitely feel I don't want to lose a dime.
Yeah. Me either. I need all my coins.
Everything.
They are all accounted for.
You owe me $30.
So the next player. Regret aversion has a heavy emotional response, right? So when we are contemplating a decision, there's a part of our brain that gets activated, and that's the amygdala. It is the emotional response.
Heard about her.
It's the emotional response, and it helps us process, right? So when we start thinking about our decision, that immediately starts lighting up, and it's like, hold on. You have literally an emotional response. It's not just logical. You know, you ever feel like that? Like, damn.
I do. I have felt like that. I've started thinking about decisions and just get to crying.
And then that negative emotion, that response is a powerful motivator in making us make a decision. And right. And hopefully keeps us from having those feelings of buyer's remorse. You know, like when somebody's a sale is happening and there's all this talk around, oh, my goodness, this is the last day. You guys, it's 40% off. What happens? It's like, damn, if I don't get it, I'm gonna lose the 40% off. And then I'm not gonna, you go back and forth. And what do? You end up making a decision off of an emotional response. Otherwise, you feel like if I don't make this decision, I will regret it later. Yes. And that happened to me during Black Friday.
What happened?
I bought a new face and I still have not used it.
Germany.
I haven't. I've been dealing with some other things in my skin and I'm like, I can't put nothing else on my face yet.
The new face?
I haven't put it on because it comes with a gel. And I'm like, I can't put that. Y'all, wait, I have
is
such.
The serum react? Is the serum like.
I have very
not
sensitive.
Not you buying a new face and not using
it. I haven't used it yet. I have very sensitive and reactive skin.
They were on sale for Black Friday?
They were, girl. It was like 40% off.
I'm going to get one next Black Friday because I've been wanting one.
So, yeah. And that's the thing. I was seeing all around. I'm like, oh, my goodness. The new face. It looks so good. They were having a sale. I immediately got it thinking I'm going to use this. I don't want to not get it while it's on sale because if I don't get it, then what? Now I'm going to miss out on.
I know. I've done that so many times.
And I have not used it.
I've gotten caught up in that. So many times.
Yeah. It's sick. But the emotions that I felt were, I need to get this damn thing because I can't let the sale slip past me.
And that's what I'm saying. That's the psychology that people use with marketing and sales because they're aware of this.
They know your amygdala is activated.
They use it against us.
Yeah.
So another key player when it comes to regret aversion is the endowment effect. So we tend to value things that we already have versus the things that we don't. We're holding tight to the things that we already know what they're giving. This is called the endowment effect. So it plays a role in regret aversion because it can make us avoid selling, giving up, letting go of possessions, people, things.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to regret those decisions later. Mm-hmm. So this can look like holding on to a car that is giving you all sorts of issues. But you don't want to go get a new car.
Right.
You want to hold on to this car because you don't want to regret giving up this car. See, I already had this car.
Yeah.
It gave me issues, but I knew the issues. It came.
Yes.
You know, we'll say
we'll start rationalizing it.
We'll do that. We'll do that with cars, relationships, jobs.
So many things. You feel like it's better than what it is because it's already in your possession.
Mm-hmm.
Like our clothes, you know? That happens all the time. You think about how many times you've gone to clean out your closet.
And you're just holding on to stuff thinking I might put this on and you haven't worn it in months.
Because it holds more value to you because it's in your possession. But if you think about it, if this was in the store today,
would you spend your money on it?
Probably not. Another component of this regret aversion is the power of what ifs. So our brains, y'all, are always in survival mode. It wants to keep us safe. So much so.
It's working overtime,
right? But so much so that it's even thinking about potential threats through our decisions, right? So when we're making a decision, we often plan out scenarios in our head and regret aversion is amplified by the power of what ifs. So we oftentimes will dwell on near misses like a job opportunity or almost buying a winning lottery ticket, you know, like getting really close to something then not having it. It's like, damn, what if I...
This gets me. I don't like that.
I know, but it's like it creates paralysis because then we ruminate on the fact that we didn't get a thing and then we don't want to move forward with trying again. You know, like this whole thing of being offered a job or thinking you're going to get a job and you go through 3, 4, 5 interviews. That almost hurts more than y'all just telling me I didn't get it off rip.
Yeah, or just telling me at the first interview.
Yeah, because it's like, why did I go through all of that?
I'm getting more excited about the possibility. I'm getting closer.
I'm thinking about what it would be like to work there.
I'm calculating the check.
Yeah, that, you know, we'll do that check. We ain't even start clocked in yet.
Baby, we will divide that, put it into that paycheck calculator and see what our new income is going to be.
Okay, that looks good. That looks good. Yeah, it's yeah. The what ifs of like, I was so close to getting that. They told me it was just me and one other person.
I know.
And they got it. What is it?
I've been there.
Yeah. It's like, what is it? What was it? Why didn't it work? What could have been different? What if I would have?
What if I would have done this? What if I would have said this differently? What if I would? Yeah, that'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. That'll do it for sure. The final player with regret aversion is social influence.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see how powerful social influence, the fact that it comes up in every episode? Like, wow, the chokehold it has on us. But brain imaging studies show that social comparison can also activate areas that are associated with regret. Mm. So they're
studying our
brains and they're seeing that. So seeing others achieve success or having the fear that others might judge our choices can influence the choices that we're making. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The decision making, and make us more susceptible to this regret aversion. And this is real. And this is deep. Because we are seeing, when we're just on social, we're seeing this so much.
Yeah.
And I'm understanding more and more, like, it's loud and it's clear why we need to control what we're consuming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because the effects that it has on our brain, things that we're doing mindlessly, is greatly affecting us. Yeah. So a way that this can play out with the social influence is FOMO, the fear of missing out. You see people doing things and you feel like you want to be there just so that you don't regret the feeling of not being there. It might not even be something that you necessarily want to do or you're interested in or you're super excited about. It's the fear of missing out that's driving your decision to participate, whether that's attending a function, buying something.
Seriously.
You know, that is real. And I've been a victim of it.
I feel like we all have, you know.
I have been a victim of it because I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to miss out.
Yeah.
If this is what we're doing,
and then we're doing it.
This is what we're doing. I need to make sure I'm a part of doing it. Wow.
I know. It happens. We, like you said, we really have to control what it is that we're consuming, what pages that we're following, because we will find ourselves down bad trying to keep up, living a life that you don't want to live, doing things that you don't want to do, hanging out with people that you don't really give a fuck about, all out of fear of thinking that you're missing out on some aspect of life that truly you are not.
Spending money that you don't need to spend.
Yeah. I mean, it goes deep, y'all. It goes deep. And I really love this vibe that we're into. But so do you tend to focus on potential gains or losses when you're making choices?
I honestly think it depends on the choice.
I feel like you're a gains kind of girl.
You think I'm mainly gained?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I am too. When I'm thinking about something, I do think about, like, we should do this because
this
is a possibility of what could happen.
I think that you are good with that. And that brings a lot of positivity and balance to our decision making, especially as a business, because there are rarely decisions that we make individually of one another, right? It's never like Brittany's making a decision without consulting me. Or
yeah,
I'm making
we
a
always
decision.
Consult.
Yeah, it always gives, like,
you just have to frame.
You love to say that.
Frame it. No, I'm just saying that's how we come to
a conclusion. Yeah. I mean, we definitely work through it and talk about it in its entirety, which I appreciate. But because answering the question, I am more of a what are we losing kind of girl.
Yeah.
Because I'm risk averse.
You are.
I'm risk averse.
You're like,
so,
what? I'm like, hey, let's look at the positive.
I know. And you know,
potential here.
It's easy for you to wrap your mind around what it could be like if we did this and got this thing. And I'm thinking, what is it going to be like if we actually lose this other stuff over here? Because baby.
I know. Sometimes this bites me in the ass though.
You think?
When it comes to, like, not business related, I think that that's a good mindset to have in business, like specifically this podcast, because there are a lot of decisions that come with gains, and I'm not super impulsive. I like to think, like, you know, I think through things. But when it comes to other areas, like
relationships
and love and shit, sometimes, you know, I am focused on what I can gain when the loss be right there.
Yeah, big L.
The loss be right there. And I'm thinking, oh, not even I have the potential. The potential is here.
And it don't be.
To gain.
No.
And
you're right. You're right.
Sometimes it's just not.
It's not. And the thing is, I don't know if this makes me cold, but you know, I cut it off. I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
It is interesting because it depends on what type of dynamic or what such scenario that you're considering. Because baby, I would be like.
Yeah, it depends.
There's actually nothing here. Goodbye. Good night.
It depends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends.
Okay, y'all.
So we have more to talk about when it comes to this regret aversion, but we have to take a quick little break so that bills can be paid. So
literally bills
literally,
need to be paid.
Literally bills have to
That's
be paid.
Where these ads have are they're doing
paying,
their thing.
They're paying bills.
So, yeah.
Sit tight and we'll be right back.
Hey,
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR's got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure, absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling, but with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcast. Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying
life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right. No fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your SpotMe limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Okay, girlies, we are back. So we're still talking about regret aversion. And regret aversion is a human response. This is a very natural emotion that we are feeling. And it can have significant impacts, right? Both positive and negative. There's some upsides to regret aversion. And we haven't talked about them yet, but we're going to start.
So it's not all bad.
It's not all bad. It is a double-edged sword. And I think it would be helpful to understand both aspects of the equation.
Let's do it.
So the downsides of regret aversion are missed opportunities, right? So the fear of making the wrong choice can lead to paralysis and inaction, right? We might hold back from pursuing a potential career change or asking somebody out or investment or business venture out of the fear that
it's the wrong decision.
Yeah, that it'll
be. Might not get the results that you
exactly desire. This looming possibility of regret that I'm probably not making the right choice. And this can stifle our personal and professional growth. Not making a decision. We spoke about this during the choices and how to make better decisions and weighing your choices episode. Not making a decision is still making a decision.
Yeah.
And when I say we, I'm including myself. We have to get out of our comfort zones thinking that the worst is going to happen. Like there are some opportunities for good things to happen, but this is definitely a downside. And it is not going after the things that you feel like you could go after because you think you're going to take an L or end up regretting a decision.
Definitely. And I think that's one of the things that drives me to like focus more on the gains mm-hmm. because the fear of missed opportunity is greater than the fear of regret.
Yeah.
Most times I'm like, to just be like, no, without ever exploring it. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. Another downside is poor decision making. So regret aversion can cause us to make impulsive decisions or decisions driven by a desire to avoid regret. Don't want to see it. Don't want to do it, you know, rather than focusing on what the best outcome could be.
Yeah.
So we might rush into a purchase that we don't need.
Like my new face.
Yeah. Stay at a stagnant job or relationship or anything because we just don't want to deal with the things, mm-hmm. you know? I really feel like we would do ourselves a major favor by allowing ourselves the space to really take our times with things. I know a lot of the times society, capitalism, people, they make us feel rushed. You can be sitting and get a car and it feels like you got to make a decision right then and there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you already go in there with the feeling of like, I want to get a car, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get in there and it's like, you're seeing what cars are available on the lot and you have the salesman talking to you. You guys are talking numbers and I've never just left.
Yeah.
I've been like, I'm getting the car.
Period.
This is what I'm here for. And I've had buyer's remorse before. And that could really be changed by just being like, I'm going to take my time.
I'm going to sleep on it.
I'm going to sit with it.
Sleep on it.
Sleep on it.
And I get back at you when I wanna sleep on it. Yeah.
Sleep on it.
We can sleep on things.
Yeah.
We can allow ourselves that space to not make this impulsive decision making.
But we're instant gratification. We want it now. We need to see the results, the fruits of the labor ASAP. You know, it's like, if I came here to get a car, baby, I'm leaving with the car.
I'm leaving with some.
I'm leaving with some.
I'm leaving here with some.
I mean, yeah, that'd be our mindset.
Yeah.
But let's take a beat, y'all. Let this be the year of taking a beat.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody rush you into shit.
I think we should definitely start taking beats. I feel like I would benefit greatly. I like to ponder on things. I do.
Noodle.
But there's room for me
you
to do
you
it.
You like to noodle.
Yeah, noodle. There's room for me to do it even more.
Mm. Yeah. Give yourself some time. Stretch out in it. Another downside is our well-being being compromised. So constantly living in a state of regret creates stress. It creates anxiety, even depression. When it's really, really bad, it's getting depressed, right? And then we get stuck in this moment where we can't see past our situation.
Yeah.
And then it ends up impacting our wellness and our overall health and, you know, well-being.
Ability to function.
The ability to function is then corrupted. We're corrupted because all we can do is think about the present moment and what we did wrong and how and the errors and the mistakes and all of the things. And no, free yourself from that. What's it? What Fantasia say?
Go ahead and free yourself.
Free yourself from it.
Yeah. Yeah, free yourself.
Yeah. We got to move forward, y'all.
We have to move. That's the thing. We really will be stuck.
Mm-hmm. Cement.
Self-imposed
blocks.
Stuck.
Wasn't that Clementine? Remember Clementine had cement blocks on her feet?
No, that I did not see.
What?
Who is Clementine?
Oh my God, y'all. Get her.
Who is it?
That was an old folk song about Clementine.
Oh, my darling.
Oh, my darling.
I know
oh
the
darling,
song, but I don't Clementine. Know. What, I don't know. I
you were
know.
Lost and gone forever.
Talking about get her.
She don't know. You was all up on me for no. You don't know the burner boy. I'm like, what?
You see the girls knew.
They did know. They did know. And then I had listened to the song. I'm like, okay. But Clementine, come
did
on.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
No one to waste my days. I want to spend them on enjoy.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Come on, Clementine.
Okay, the final downside is the escalation of commitment. So, whew, y'all.
This her bookie.
This
her
is
baby.
The one. So, regret aversion could lead to the sunk cost fallacy. Mm-hmm. Remember this term.
Yeah, didn't we have a whole episode on sunk cost fallacy? Or we were talking
no,
about
we
it?
No, we were talking about
okay.
it. Yeah, we were talking about it. But
we be using our terms, y'all.
Yeah. With the sunk cost fallacy, we might cling to decisions. Because we've invested time, mm-hmm. we've spent money, we put effort into them. This could be relationships, this can be items, jobs, whatever. We hang on to them because we don't want to admit that we were wrong. We don't want to admit that that was a bad investment
yeah.
or decision
yeah.
or a bad use of time. We don't want to do that.
It's like the Titanic.
Yeah. So instead of cutting our losses and admitting that, you know, I regret that. That wasn't the best decision.
We just go down with the
shit. We hold on to it. We hold on to the shit. And we will hold on tight.
Baby, they was playing that violin and it was still going on. That's how we be going down with a nigga.
With a nigga, for real.
For real.
This can really trap us in a cycle of negativity. Mm-hmm. This is when we're creating a post saying that all relationships have their ups and downs.
Mm-mm. Not here you won't.
I've been in situations like this. I'm like, I done spent all this time with
now we talking. Now we talking about the ups and downs.
I've been spent all this time with you. We've already done invest. I've already done invested 5 years.
Another thing we're doing this year is counting the L's early.
Cut them early.
Cut them early.
Cut them early. We gotta please. Cut them early.
Okay.
We gotta cut them.
No
early.
More ups and downs. And what is that called?
Trials and tribulations.
I hate a trial and tribulation. But
thick and thin.
No, I hate a thick and thin as well. But rationalizing the struggle. That's
yeah.
what I want to do. This year, girls, we're not rationalizing the struggle. We can't apply the sunk cost fallacy to our relationships. Well, you should be applying it, but we got to get up out of it. Stop holding on to these men who don't want to be held. Okay? When the relationship is done, you got to say, I bid you adieu. Farewell. Bid him adieu. Bid him adieu. Let him go. Let him go, please.
Let him go. We don't have to hold on to things because of time that has already been spent. Sometimes it's best to just cut your losses, honestly. Nip it in the bud.
I've gained so much since cutting my dead weight. I've gained a lot.
I know.
And I'm sure most people can admit when you get rid of something that was holding you down, when you get the monkey off your back, you feel free.
You rise.
You get more things. Exactly. Like a phoenix.
You rise.
From the ashes.
You rise.
And still, I rise.
The thing is, I feel like I'm getting even better at it. Now I'm starting to wonder if I'm
too good. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as getting too good. It's not okay.
This is coming from Miss Ice.
This is the thing. Ice, this is the thing. Ice, baby. The thing is, and the difference that I want to make sure that I'm really clear about communicating, I'm not saying to cut something that is still good. We're talking about clearly identifying what no longer works, what no longer serves you, what no longer is beneficial, and getting the fuck on. I don't want you to cut a good thing now.
I know, but you know.
Get out of it.
This might be a different episode, but I hear you.
What you want to say?
Nothing.
Prequel it.
I'm just saying.
No, you in the space of
that. Yeah, I'm saying something.
I ain't giving no, there ain't no potential. That's the next episode. Talking about letting these people go and stop looking at potential. Listen, I'm looking at the here and now. I don't give a damn about your potential. That's just that on that. Now, we're going to get to the positives.
Let's get to the positives.
Mommy side.
Let's move over to the upside.
The upside of regret aversion. It can be a motivator for positive change. So the fear of regret can also be powerful because it can help us pursue or take action towards things that really matter, right? Like think about getting in the gym or eating better, being mindful of your mental health, your wellness, you know, investing in your overall well-being out of fear that not taking action on those things will be worse. It'll catch you on the back end.
Yeah, yes.
You'll end up dealing with some shit because like,
I got to do it because you didn't do what you needed
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. Almost like preventative
care.
Using eye creams. You don't know if it's not going to work. You just hope
you're just getting ahead of it.
You're just getting ahead of it. Hopefully this shit really do work. But who knows if eye creams really work. But you don't want to be the person who don't find or who finds out they don't work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I'm 60. They actually could have been helping me. So, yeah.
Crazy.
Get in there.
Okay. So another upside is increased productivity. So sometimes regret aversion can cause us to adopt a get it done mindset, get in the field. We might be more likely to complete tasks or deadlines to avoid procrastination or missed opportunities because it's like, I don't want to receive what's going to come on the other end of not doing what I needed to do to get it done. I don't want to regret that.
Yeah.
So let me make sure that I do what I'm supposed to be doing. And that just be that. This is how I like to use it for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on the regret of knowing what I was supposed to do and not doing it. That hurt.
It does, and it feels stupid.
It does. It's like, it's I knew what I needed.
I hate that feeling. Like, damn.
I knew what I was supposed to do.
You definitely be knowing.
And I didn't do it.
Another upside is that regret aversion can create increased creativity, right? So sometimes the fear of regret can lead to more creative solutions. Think about it when you're in a pickle, a situation where it's like, I don't really know where to go with it. So let me get creative. Let me come up with something that I wasn't thinking about. When you're faced with some choices that you feel like in the future, I might regret that, you might get a little bit creative and coming up with a new decision or a new solution.
Alternative options.
Yes, coming up with some alternative options that you wouldn't have came up with otherwise.
That's good. Those are some upsides. Okay, so for you, what situations do you find that you're most susceptible to regret aversion? Finances, relationships, career, like what?
Ooh, anytime you talk about my money. Anytime you talk about my money, finances got me. That's going to get me every time over the relationships, I feel like. I feel like I've grown out of having the regret aversion. When I was in that LTR, the long-term relationship, I kind of was dealing with it, especially sunk cost fallacy. But now as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, fuck them. But when it
well,
comes
that's
to
hindsight, because that's hindsight.
This hindsight, I know, in 2020, and it's 2020. But I used that. I used that situation
to help build
as
muscle.
Experience. I'm a wise woman now. Exactly. But I think whenever I think about my money, I think I'm more prone to thinking about what it is that I'm like might lose. I am super fiscally responsible, and all of my decisions that I make come from a place that I might regret
making the wrong choice.
Like, I don't want to splurge because I'm thinking if I splurge now, what's going to happen in the future? I need to have my kitty. I need to have my savings, all of the things. And it's not always healthy to operate in that space because I end up missing out on doing things that maybe like it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, what about you?
For me, I feel like I'm most susceptible to regret aversion when it comes to the relationships
I guess. And coins as well. When it comes to the relationships, I feel like that can be improved upon by just being like more sure and confident in my decision.
Yeah.
Honestly, that can heal that, which I've
simple.
I've been getting better at that.
Yeah, I will admit you have been.
And finance is similar to you. I don't want to play no games. I'm responsible for taking care of me, so I want all of my ducks in a row. I don't want to be sitting nowhere with my ass out and in the thong.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure that I'm covered financially.
Completely.
Yes. So I definitely have regret aversion when it comes to financial choices and decisions because I'm just fearful sometimes. And I want to get better even with that, too. And I think I can work on that by adopting a more abundant mindset.
Yeah.
Like, again, not being impulsive or frivolous, which I'm not. But I guess allowing some room.
I think I have regret aversion when it comes to my career.
Explain.
Like my job, you know? I historically have been less likely to step out and find an alternative to my current job or career, whatever. Because I'm thinking about that I might not like it or the security that I have in my current job. There'll be all of these reasons why I feel like I don't need to move forward, even though I have feelings of like I could do something different.
I know. You know? I was talking to someone about that.
About me?
Not you.
Oh.
About them.
I'm like the gossip girl.
No, not about you. About them. And it made me realize how opposite that me and this person thought, because this person, like, they're well qualified to like go out and pursue more opportunities with their like degrees and skill set. And they're like, well, I've just been here and like make more money. And they're like, I've just been here and I'm comfortable. And like, you know what's expected of me. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I could never, like, that will be the fuel, the battery in my back to pursue more. Like, what?
Yeah.
But everyone's different. Like, people do think that. A lot of people are thinking, like, I'm stable here. I know what to expect here. There's not a lot of risk. I'm comfortable. I'm okay with taking less and not putting myself out there and risking more and, like, regretting having, like, more responsibilities or, like, you know. More expectations, more of a demand on me.
I personally think I could get over that by taking a calculated risk, right? Even though, and this is for anybody who's in the same position, right? Who have those same sentiments of like, I've been here, I'm comfortable, I know what's expected of me, I've built tenure, seniority, whatever that looks like for you. If you find yourself in that position where it's like, but I am kind of curious about what's on the other side of the looking glass. Maybe it looks like looking for something while you have your job, right? That's more calculated and making sure that it is a good fit so that when you say goodbye, you already got something lined up. Because sometimes it's those feelings of like, I'm going to just get up out of here.
Yeah.
And I can't do that.
No, like we said, it doesn't have to be impulsive.
Calculated.
You can allow yourself the opportunity to sit with it and assess the pros and the cons. But then after that, you got to move. I mean, people do it all the time when they like, leave their jobs. And I'm not talking about the people that just leave their jobs at the drop of a dime, but they decide like they want to pursue maybe entrepreneurial projects. So they leave their jobs, but they always have the option of getting another job. That's the thing. You're rehirable. You know, you can always go get back in the field. I mean, influencers are doing it all the time. Influencers have started submitting applications.
Oh, yeah.
That's happening.
Get back on the payroll.
People got to get to work because circumstances change. Maybe you desire a different type of stability.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. As long as we're aware that we do have choice and we do have options, I think that would liberate us to take more risk and not live in a space of regret because we know that there's a vast possibility for us. We make things small. We make things feel impossible by our minds and the way that we're thinking.
Love it.
But they don't have to be.
They don't have to be. So, y'all, we are going to take a quick break, but we will be right back after this. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about mylifeinabook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today.
Okay, y'all, before we get back into the show and get into the tips and the tricks for how to overcome, got to do a few things. So I will admit, you all have been really coming through with the ratings.
Kudos.
And the reviews and the sharing on the story. And I love to see that. And I want to continue to see that. So let's keep up that energy. It means the world to us. It really helps us tremendously. Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, let them know what else they need to do, because I haven't been seeing this too much.
Okay, but in addition to what she says, yes, you're sharing, but make sure that you are subscribed to the show wherever it is that you listen to the show. So if it's on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed.
YouTube,
follow
yes.
the podcast. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the bell. If you are listening on Spotify, hit the bell. Do all of the things so that you stay up to date with all things BGB. Next, join us over at the Homegirl Hangout, y'all. It's fucking lit over there. This is your call to action if you are looking to build more intentional community, if you are looking to connect with like-minded women, get more of what you're receiving here on the main platform over there. So there's bonus content in the form of journal prompts, our Discord chat, book club, Bravado bonus, which is like the episodes that we host here. We're doing it over there. This month, we're talking about love being unconditional. Is it not? There's a lot of tea that's being dished and just our business that we get to spew. So the information to join us
is
down. We're
going to be spilling our business even more over there since people seem to not like to hear it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, we're going to take y'all a little feedback or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll reserve our catching up for Patreon.
Anyway.
Said in haste.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get back into the show. Okay, y'all.
We're back, girlies.
We're back with some tools for your toolkit. Yes.
Okay, y'all. So getting further acclimated and understanding what regret aversion is, it's super important, right? Because like we just discussed, there are upsides and there are downsides. And the more that we understand both, we can make ourselves aware of the downsides, but then also use the upsides to our advantage,
yeah.
Right? We want to employ tools, tactics to help us have the ability to make better decisions, live with less regret, and live the life that we want. So first tip here is to identify your values. So it's really important to clearly define what is most valuable to you in your life, right? You can help make great decisions if you understand what it is that you're working towards. Your decisions need to be guided by your principles, your yeah. values, right? The things that are really fueling you at your core. That's going to help you live life with less regret. So here's an example. Say you're trying to make a decision between one, taking a job that pays well, you have to relocate, you're further away from home, maybe there's more demands, and two, you know, your current job, it's okay, it pays less, but you're close to home, you're comfortable, no relocation is needed. What you need to consider is what is paramount to you? Is it financial security, stability, or is it spending time with your family, being able to pop in, hang out at family game nights? Whatever is most important to you, whatever you're most driven by, will help you make a decision that you won't regret later. Like, getting to the bag is more important to me. So I know I'm not going to regret this decision because that is
Important.
Or, damn, I really love hanging out with my family once a week. That would make me feel so sad to move and not be able to have that experience. Figure out what your values are and make moves based on those things.
I agree. Yeah. That's really good information. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with someone. It was Kayla. We were talking about like the demand that comes, like you said, with a higher paying job. And I'm like, I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Period.
I'm ready to be demanded.
Demand something of me.
Demand something.
Yeah.
Please.
But for some people, it's just not worth it.
It's not.
It's like, I don't want to be the manager. I don't want to be the supervisor. No, I don't want to be the person coming. But sometimes that's
what comes.
You know, it's like now you people are reporting to you and you got to deal with this and always be on call. And sometimes the coin don't be enough.
That don't make it worth. That's not worth it. That makes it not worth it.
And then you think, is peace of mind important to me? Is leaving this job and clocking out important to me and not having nobody blowing my phone up important to me? If it is, then the money is not going to sway you.
Right.
It's going to give, baby, the
money. Give me my other little coin.
Give me my peace of mind.
Give me my other little coin.
Peace.
Okay. So another tip is to consider all of the outcomes. Mm-hmm. Let's not just focus on the worst case scenario here, which is easy to do for some of us. But instead, let's weigh all the potential outcomes and the drawbacks and the benefits of each option before we make our decision. So here's an example. You are offered a chance to start your own business. You're stepping into your boss, baby. So fear of potential failure might lead you to regret aversion in a decision to stick with a safe option. You know what? I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not even going to try it. Instead, you can do this. You consider all the outcomes. You can say, what's the potential for success? Really look at it. Really assess it before just writing it off.
Yeah.
And then what would be a realistic worst case scenario? We can even take it there. So what could be the worst case scenario realistically? And would I be able to handle that? Would it be the end of the world if the worst case scenario actually came to be?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. But when you weigh all the possibilities, this can help you make an informed decision and not operate from a place of regret. I mean, Germany and I had to do this when we decided to go exclusively with Spotify.
Mm.
We definitely had to do that because we could have just been like, no. It's not an option. We already have something. We already have our following on Apple Music. We know what that comes with. We don't necessarily know what this comes with. And it's a risk.
Yeah.
But we sat there and we said, well, we'll still have our feet.
Thank God.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how good of a decision it would have been without having our feet kept.
It would have been a bad decision at that point. It would have gave probably not the best
decision. But we were weighing the pros and the cons. We were thinking about the worst case scenario. What happens? We go back to being non-exclusive. Oh, okay. Is that really that bad?
Right.
You know, is it really that bad to go back to what we were doing? No, because it worked. And we built something before. We can build something again. So just think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't automatically dwell on the worst case scenario. And sometimes the worst case scenario that we build in our head,
It's not even that bad.
It's wild.
And it's not even that bad.
Yeah, it's not as bad as the one that we build up in our heads.
Yeah.
So allow yourself to see the full range of possibility and then make your decision from that space.
Love that. Next, y'all, we're focusing on learning. So view your mistakes and your misses as learning experiences. You can use them to improve your decision making in the future. Like I said, we talked about the sunk cost fallacy and, you know, having this hindsight around relationships and it being 2020 because now I'm out of it. But really, we need to all be thinking about our life like that. Like, how can I use the mistakes or the regrets as an opportunity for me to take something out of a situation, right? So we have to give another example. Let's say you ended a relationship, a long-term relationship, because ultimately there were incompatibility issues, but you still have these lingering feelings. You know, occasionally I want to spin the block is what's coming up. And regret can cloud your judgment and make you idealize the past. We know we do this. We will highlight the things in our mind that were really good, act damn near forgetting about the shit that made us get out the relationship in the first place. So instead, remember, we're focusing on learning. So a part of that would be analyzing the relationship. Reflect on the reasons y'all broke up in the first place, right?
That's always good to do.
Yeah. Was there communication issues? Were there a lack of shared values, shared interests? Sex was weak? Whatever.
Right.
Dick bad?
Fit not together,
you know,
talk to me crazy.
Yeah, whatever it is. Then you need to identify your needs. So what are your non-negotiables in a relationship? What kind of communication style works for you? What are the things that really matter to you? And then next, you're going to view this as a growth experience. So use this experience to understand your needs and your preferences better, right? This will help you make a better compatible decision in the future. It's like, I already consider all of those things that happened in the past. I know what it came from. I know what that relationship got me. So now I'm going to move this way. I'm going to move differently because of it. I'm not going to sit here and regret the time that I spent with that person. I'm just going to turn my L into a lesson.
Right.
That's what we're doing.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like when we get to flip it on its back and use it for our good. Use it for our good. Use it for our good.
Ah, yeah, hit them folks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, y'all, let's practice some self-compassion.
Yes.
Here goes that one again. Again, reiterating that we must be kind to ourselves. We must understand that everybody makes mistakes, period. Like I said at the top of the episode, there are going to be decisions that we make that come with regret. It's normal to be like, damn, what? Why? I knew I shouldn't have. Why did I do this? God.
Yeah.
Why? But the key here is not to dwell on those past decisions for too long. Take the lesson out of it and move on. So here we go. Let's get into our visualization bag. Imagine that you decided to pass on the opportunity to go on a dream vacation or retreat.
Ours.
Unlocking Sisterhood. That's the name.
That's sold out now.
Let's use a sold out Unlocking Sisterhood retreat. You passed on it.
Yeah.
You said nah. Maybe you had work commitments. Mm-hmm. And now you're sitting here thinking, damn, you're dwelling on this decision and it's leading to regret. Once we said it was sold out, it's like, damn.
I knew it. I thought I had a little while longer.
Yeah, I thought they've been advertising that one spot forever.
It's
damn.
Tax season. I thought I had it. It's gone.
But here's what you can do if you're feeling that regret, because I know some of you are feeling it.
Yeah, for sure. It's stinging.
I know it's stinging you that you won't be with us in Belize.
What can we say?
But here's what you can do. I'm going to give you some advice.
Some game?
Yeah. Some gems. Some nuggets, as the old folks say. I'm going to give you a nugget. Practice some self-compassion by acknowledging your feelings. Mm-hmm. That's the first step.
Yeah.
But understanding that everybody makes decisions based on their circumstances. Hey, I wanted to go, but my ducks weren't in a row. My coins weren't coining.
Yeah.
And so that's why I made the decision that I made. And instead, try focus on planning a future vacation. Join us on the next retreat. I now know that these girls host retreats. This is a thing that they do. Or there may be some other girls that host retreats and I see what the ticket, what is hidden for.
Right.
So let me start setting myself up for that because I understand now. I understand what's going to come from this. I understand how it made me feel. So let me prepare for the future so that I don't feel this again. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Look for other ways. Maybe you're going to go on another trip this summer. You may still go to Belize, but maybe it's going to be with your home girls. Whatever you need to do, just make sure that you give yourself the compassion and then we're going to move forward.
Yeah. Last tip for today, y'all, celebrate your choices. Take some time to appreciate the good decisions that you've made, right? We're flipping it again. Even if the outcome wasn't what you expected. So imagine that you decided to go back to school. You want to pivot and make a different career choice. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's not always easy to do. There are some challenges that come with that. But instead of getting down on yourself like, damn, I done started over. I didn't even need to do that.
Yeah.
Congratulate yourself for committing to self-improvement, for taking a step in the right direction to doing something that you really want to do, right? Recognize and appreciate this positive choice. This can help boost your confidence and help you stay on the path of the right way.
Growth.
You know, yeah, of growth and helping you hopefully reduce these feelings of like regret and sting in the future. It's like, honestly, this is tough, but I don't regret doing it. I'm doing this for my best self, higher self.
Right.
We're doing it for the future self. My future self is going to be happy. So I'm going to deal with this little bullshit in the meantime, between time. Mm-hmm. Why do we say that? In the meantime, between time?
I don't know, but I love it.
In the meantime, between time, I'm going to deal with this little bullshit, but best believe I'm coming out on top. You want to be on top.
Top. Yes. So, y'all. Hopefully you feel empowered.
Yes.
Hopefully you feel equipped.
I love a liberation.
I do too. Hopefully you feel ready to make different decisions, make better decisions. And if they end up not being better, being equipped to deal with the regret that may come after the decision is made. Because that's the thing. We want to be prepared. We're almost expecting it. But I was prepared.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you at the door. You know what
and
I'm saying?
That's on period.
So hopefully you enjoyed it.
Yes.
Now it is time for the final segment of the show. It is time to
pick up your pen. We're dropping a gem.
Okay, y'all. There's a couple things you should know by now.
What?
We love lip products over here.
Mm-hmm.
We've shared a few. And we're here to share another one. Because one thing I'm going to have in my purse is a lip oil, a lip gloss, a salve.
A lip balm.
A balm. A lip mask. Something.
A gloss.
These lips are one of my best assets.
Oh.
And they need to be kept up. What I'm keeping them up with lately is a hot girl item. That's another thing. We like topicals over here. I've been loving all of my topicals products. So topicals came out with a lip balm. The Slick Soft Mint Lip Balm. And baby, the girls are ranting and raving about it, and it's for a good reason. This stuff is good.
It is. It lasts all day.
This stuff is good. It lasts. Mm-hmm. It's hydrating.
It has a little bit of a minty feel, like it says in the name.
It does.
It's thick.
I love that it repairs the barrier.
Yeah.
Because I like my, like I said, I have to maintain.
Kissable.
Have to maintain this asset. It's vegan.
Who wants it to be dry and chapped?
Not me. I hate a dry lip.
I hate a pookie lip.
I hate a pookie lip. It's cost efficient. $16. I love that it has hyaluronic acid in it and ceramides. I love it. And it's good. So if you're looking for something to keep your lips moisturized and you can get your hands on it, highly recommend. 10 out of 10. Get to Sephora, get to the topicals website, and get your things.
Period. And that's that.
Okay. So.
We've come to the end of the road. It's been real. It's been good.
It has been good.
Thank y'all for sticking with us. If you've made it this far.
Yes.
We love you down, and we will see you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.